I'll tell you how it started. The devil said, I'm going to ascend to the holy hill. I'm going to be like the Holy One. Isaiah said it like this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Let me tell you who won the debate. God won the debate. And because Satan has been defeated, I don't care what debate after that, doesn't matter. What matters is God has already defeated our enemy. And I want to reiterate this again. It's not about the donkey. It's not about the elephant. It's about the lamb. And there is a kingdom that is greater than any kingdom of this world. And I'm glad that I have been adopted into that kingdom through the Spirit of the Almighty God. I've been adopted. I belong to Him. I'm part of His church. I'm bone of His bone. I'm flesh of His flesh. And because I'm that, there is no gates of hell able to prevail against me. Because I'm bone of His bone, Porky, you know what's awesome about that? He said, I will not suffer one bone of His to be broken. That means if I am bone of His bone, I cannot be broken. I may be bent. I may be brought low. But there's no way the enemy can break me. Man, I feel preachy on Wednesday because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You got to believe that because you are a child of the Almighty God. You got to know who you are. Amen. That's not my sermon. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, 13. We're going to go over this. You can stand up now if you want to. That was just a little commercial. Oh, y'all running around worried about the debate. The debate was settled long ago. The old account was settled long ago. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Say, we're in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? And having your breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what? Above all, taking the what? Shield of faith. Wherewith you are able to quench all. Everybody say all. I heard Josh say, we don't have to lose. We can quench every fiery dart of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I told you we're going to be on this for a couple weeks. You can go and be seated. He said to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he also said, take the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God teaches us what the gospel is. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you this. The gospel is not the Western church plan of salvation. Let me say that again. The gospel is not the Western church plan of salvation. You got to be really careful, preacher, preaching the gospel. You got to be really careful preaching grace. You got to be really careful doing that. Paul preached grace and the gospel so hard that he had to ask this question. He said, so shall we continue in sin? He made it sound so good that he had to question, does it sound like you can still sin? And what did he say? God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. He preached it so awesome that, and so merciful and so gracious that we've heard this said before, be careful, you're going to give people a license to sin. Let me tell you what's going to happen. If people want a license to sin, they're going to find the license. But when their nature's changed and they're born again, they seek after the things of God. And they use the grace of God to catapult them into a life of consecration and holiness. Can you say amen? Amen. We are going to get more out of grace than we'll ever get out of law. I want to reiterate this. we will get more out of grace than we ever will out of law. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly, godly, righteous, where? In this present world. You look around and you say, oh, it's so evil, it's so evil, it's so evil. Doesn't matter. God's grace is enough. Paul prayed and asked that the thorn be removed, and we've asked God to remove us, and God spoke to him and said this, my grace is sufficient. I don't care what's going on in the world around us, his grace is sufficient. I don't care who gets in office, God's grace is sufficient. I don't care what goes on out in the world, God's grace is sufficient. God is enough. And we got to understand that. This armor that he gave it, it's not our armor. It's his armor. We cannot, Vicky, we can't fight the devil through our own intellect. He's older than you. He's been around longer than you. He knows a lot more than you know. You will never outsmart the enemy through intellect. Some of you smart people won't amen me, but I'm telling you, you ain't gonna win. All of us less IQ people, amen, thank goodness. The race is not to the swift, preacher. That's why I'm in it. You're never going to win this battle through thought process. And we reiterate this over and over and over. We've all tried it. We've had pep rallies for ourselves. Come on, me. You know the devil's coming, me. You can do it, me. Try harder, me. Do better, me. Come on. Be ready next time, me. And you know what? We lean on me. And when we lean on ourselves, we come up short-handed. The armor is not ours, it's his. He said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet must be planted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the Western plan of salvation. The Western plan of salvation teaches that you must repent of your sins before you can be saved. I'm here to tell you, you got to turn to Jesus before you can be saved. And by turning to Jesus, you will turn away from your sin. It's not what you're turning from, it's what you're turning to. And the Western plan of salvation doesn't understand the gospel, because when I didn't want him, he still wanted me, and he called me when I wasn't even looking for him. That's how good he is. You turn to Jesus. And when you turn to Jesus, you automatically turn away from sin. We got to get this. Because if you preach grace and people sin more, they don't get grace. If you understand what he did for you, and you have his spirit, I've been adopted. I don't know if y'all remember, Sam did an awesome job preaching about the people that come in and they check the punch list, and you got the architect and you got all these people that are working on the project. Well, we got to understand who the architect of this is. God Almighty's the architect. And these people come in and they're quality control, and we feel like somehow we're supposed to be the quality control. And we are builders. We are building something on the foundation. But here's what's great about, man, I have worked with architects that made me pray. You know what I'm talking about? You want to talk about some of them? Because we know the same ones. They come in, they're arrogant. This needs fixed, that needs fixed, that needs fixed. You can do it like this, you can do it like that. You can do it like, Lord Jesus, help me. It's difficult. You got to pray about it. God, help me not knock this architect out. I don't even know if I can say that, but I just said it. Because we're human, we do. It's tough. It's tough because they want it a certain way. Let me tell you something about God. God is a God of order. We don't get to just come into God's presence any old way. You're not going to ascend to the holy hill unless you got clean hands and a clean heart. Here's the kicker. The only way to get clean hands and a clean heart is to let him wash them.
Now, once he washes them, you got access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You can come boldly to the throne of grace because you know you're clean enough, not because what you have done, but because he washed you. I'm telling you, if we get this revelation, we're going to produce more fruit in our life. And we're going to quit saying it's a hard old way. Y'all know. You know what I'm getting ready to sing? Yeah, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it. Your best ain't good enough to make it. And I don't know about you, but this is the best time of my life since I understand who Jesus is. He said, take my burden. It's light. And you're over there on the rough side of the mountain. Come over here where there's a ram in the thicket. Get over here on the other side where it's already taken care of. And you can mount up with wings of an eagle. And you don't have to worry about coming up the rough side. You can soar above it. Oh, we're going to be happy Christians. It's a hard old way, preacher. It's a hard old way. He done everything for you, and it's a hard old way. You know what he's, these guys at these motivational things, you go to these business things, they're trying to make you sell. They get up and they say, you know what you got to do? You got to find your why. You got to find your why. If you find your why, you'll get up out of the bed and go to when you know your why. Whatever your why. Has anybody ever been to one of those where they tell you got to find your why? Well, I found my why. And it's him. I said, I found my why. It's him. He's my reason. Why is he my reason? I love him because he... Why do I love him? Because he first loved me. Why do I serve him? Because he died for me. Why do I appreciate him? Because he was buried for me. Why do I walk in the newness of life? Because he got up for me. That's why. He's my why. He's my reason. So you got to be planted in that. The only way you're going to get traction in the Christian life is to have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Yeah, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what I'm planted in. Because I need that to get traction. When the enemy tries to push me away, when the enemy tries to move me out of my place, I've got to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's why I love him so. That's why Buddha couldn't do it, Muhammad couldn't do it, nobody could do it. He's the only one that could do it. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. Oh, let me say that again. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. Man, you know what's awesome? When you're having church where they have to pull them off the altar. I don't know. We should probably just let them, we should get them comfortable with the altar. Because you know what? Sometimes y'all ought to come to the altar and you won't come up here. Preach on us, preacher. I will. God's dealing with your heart. Come and get prayer. Come and kneel down. Come. You're back there sweating. Worried about what other people's going to think about you. That person beside you didn't carry a cross for you. They didn't die for you. They weren't buried for you. They didn't rise again for you. But because they know him, they're rooting for you to get back in right relationship with him. Oh, man, I'm feeling good tonight because I know who Jesus is. This is his armor. It's not your armor you're wearing. You're wearing his armor. It's already been proven. Saul said, here, David, wear my armor. He said, I can't wear your armor. Why? It hasn't been proven. You don't get to say that to God. God says, here, put on my armor. What are you going to say? It hasn't been proven? It's been proven time and 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 time again. Let me say it like this. He has never entered into a battle that he did not come out the victor. Wear that armor. We got to understand what the gospel is. We got to understand what imputed righteousness is. We got to understand the free gift of grace. And when we understand that, Doug, it will change our life and our motivation. I don't know what you're going to say or if you'll be able to say anything. I can only imagine. When you stand before him, I don't know how it's going to go. But if I get the opportunity to say something, I'm going to say, I plead the blood. It's all on you. Everything I have is riding on you. Every bit of me thinking I'm allowed in here is on you. Because you said I was yours. You said I could be washed in your blood. You said I could be filled with your spirit. It's nothing that I have done. It's all on you. And I know I need to clarify for those people that want to sin. But I'm not going to. Because grace is so awesome that if you get a hold of it, oh man, if you really get a hold of it, you'll love him so much that you'll hate what he hates. Oh. Feet shod with the preparation that we've got to have our foundation in the gospel. Quick question. When Jesus saved you, do you think he thought you wasn't going to mess up? Let's see, it's Wednesday. How many people have messed up this week? Raise your hand. I am failing as a pastor. I mean, come on, we had church Sunday. And you've already blew it? In 3 days? I know a lot can happen in 3 days, but I thought that was a totally different scenario. I think everybody raised their hand. You didn't? Almost, well, the rest of y'all need to talk to Jewel after church. It's a battle. It's a battle. And sometimes our flesh gets in the way. And when our flesh gets in the way, we got to fight against it. Here's the problem. If every revelation you have makes what you do easier on your flesh, it's probably not a good revelation. Make sure they got it over here. If every revelation you get makes it easier on your flesh, it's probably not a good revelation. You know why? Because the flesh and the spirit war against each other. Can I get an amen? Amen. The Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. People say that when they miss church. Where was you at? Oh, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And you use a scripture to justify laziness. Oh, man, I'm feeling good today. But listen to what you're saying. You're saying, my flesh is stronger than the spirit. But yet when I quote, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, you amen that. Amen or all, it's Wednesday night. Listen, it ain't Sunday. It ain't Sunday. We're more, you know, we're nicer on Sunday, remember? They say if you go to church on Sunday morning, you love your church. If you go Sunday night, you love your pastor. If you go on Wednesday night, you love Jesus. So I believe y'all love Jesus. It's a battle. That's why we need his armor. What do we use as his armor? We have to use his word. All right, listen up, young people. I want you to listen. All you young people in here, I want you to listen to me. You need to get a scripture memorized to fight with. It works. You know how I know it works? Because it's what Jesus used. When the devil tempted Jesus, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. You better get something out of this word, and you better hold on to it, and you better fight with it. When the devil says you ain't enough, you can say, I'm more than a conqueror. When the devil says you can't do it, get it done, you say, I can do all things through Christ. When the devil tells you that you're going to die of a disease, you can say, he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. And I don't care how you believe it, he's still a healer right now, if he ever was a healer. When the devil comes in and tries to fight against you and torment your mind, you let him know that you're able to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ, because that's who you are. Amen.
You make a memorize scriptures in a teen class? Try to. It's a battlefield, brother. Man, you get a scripture in your heart and understand that it's more than just a word. You're not quoting Plato and you're not quoting Aristotle. You're quoting Jesus and you're quoting what he said. Listen to this. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth. Say nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Let me say this again. They are spirit and they are life. Pastor, pray for me. What's going on with you? I'm struggling. What do you mean? I'm down in my spirit. Get the word of God. Because they are spirit and they are life. And when God's word starts coming out of your mouth and you start speaking and you take that logo and make it the rhema, things begin to happen. You take the written word and you make it the spoken word and it becomes activated through the spirit. I'm telling you, there is power in that. Can you say amen? Amen. How you doing today? Well, you know, can't complain. Nobody cares. You know how many times I hear that in my life? How many of y'all say that? Some of y'all, oh, can't complain. Nobody cares. I was with Eddie one day, and he asked this guy, he said, how you doing? He said, ah, can't complain. Eddie said, well, yeah, you know, when you complain, he said, 80% of the people that you complain to don't care, and the other 20% think you deserve what you're complaining about. Man, Eddie, smoke him. Well, you know, can't complain, can't complain, can't complain. You know what they say that? I feel like they're complaining. Do you know what I mean? How you doing? Oh, can't complain. I feel like you're complaining right now. What about saying you can't complain? Because it means you have something to complain about. Let me tell you something. As a child of God, you are so blessed. You ought to talk like you're blessed. Because here's what we do. We give the enemy too much credit. I was going to work the other day, and what I call him? A toothless lion. You said toothless. Remember we was talking about the devil, and I said it was a toothless lion? You may have been half asleep. He goes in and out of signal on the way to work. All the devil can do is roar. He can't bite you. He's already been stripped of his power. If you listen, he can't bite you. That's what you say when people is nervous. I'm real nervous about that. They can't eat you. Those people can't eat you. The devil can't devour you. He's seeking whom he may devour, but he can't devour you. Because you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I don't care how hard he tries, he can't devour you. But you can give him some of your joy and your peace, and you can lay some things down that you have been ordained to walk in. We got to fight with Scripture through the Spirit. We know Hebrews 4:12, right? The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any. So why do we use other stuff? I'm going to say it again. I got to say it again. Because I know y'all, some of y'all are still doing this. You get a pain in your elbow and you Google it. Stop Googling it. You get off your phone and you're like, yeah, my elbow's hurting and I'm really sad because I got to tell my friends I got 3 days to live. Because I'm telling you, there's something terminal in your elbow. They'll give you that disclaimer. I don't care. Find it. Could be a more serious disease like. And you know what? You pass up tendonitis, you or whatever gets happening in your elbow. You pass up all of that. Tennis elbow. You pass up all of that and you go to, oh, man, I think it's what it is. It's the very last thing on the list. You know why? Because the devil's got you believing you've got to play by the same rules that the world plays by, and you don't have to play by those rules. I am adopted. That's a different set of rules. You're his kid now. Come on, musicians. I think I'm done. Let's go early. Find your scripture. Memorize it. Get it in your heart. And whatever you're fighting, use it when it's time to fight it. You say, oh, this is elementary. This is elementary teaching. Well, I mean, between Sunday and Wednesday, the whole congregation, save one, blew it. So obviously, we're not applying this yet. Sherry, we don't have to lose. We don't have to lose. You know what I've been praying? I used to say this all the time. I'd run into some older people. And I'd say, how old are you, sir? You know, I'd work in their house. They'd say, I'm 87. I was like, I ain't never going to make it that long. I quit saying that. You know what I say now? And you're going to think I'm crazy. But you know what I say now? I say, God, if Enoch can live forever, so can I. Now, you're looking at me funny, but I'm really saying it's like, who was Enoch? You say, oh, it's appointed unto man once to die. Damon already died. So you can go ahead and be a hypochondriac if you want to. I'm saying I may just live forever. Y'all know what to think of that, do you? I don't care. I'm still praying it. Elijah didn't die. Well, he's coming back. He's going to. It's been a long time. And some of us are like, Lord, just take me out of here. You know where I belong? Right here. And while I'm here, I want to torment the devil. And while I'm here, I want to expand the kingdom of God. You get a chance, read Isaiah 65. And you might be praying you live forever too. What? How did they do it, Darren? They walked with God. They had a relationship with Him. I think some people die prematurely because they weren't walking with Him. So I want to pass up some of those 97-year-olds. And some of y'all are sitting there thinking, nah, preacher, I think the rapture is going to take place before then. Well, in case it don't, I'm going to keep praying. Dustin, God can do whatever He wants to do. Read His word. Read His word. Get it in your spirit. One more time, I'm saying this, and they're going to sing a song. Here's what we do. If you need prayer, you can come up and we'll pray with you. to you young people, listen to me one more time. Get you a scripture. Get a scripture. Get it in your heart. Quote it. Memorize it. And speak it when the devil comes. Well, maybe he'll go away. He won't go away. He won't go away. You got to run him out of there. Come on, Aaron, sing. We're in a war. We're in a war. We're in a war. Fate's already been sealed. We win. We win. We win. We really do win. But you're waiting for that in the sweet by and by. We've already won. Right now, we are more than conquerors. Man, that's exciting. You can stand, you can sit, you can cry, whatever you want to do. But if you need prayer, come forward so we'll know and we can pray with you.